The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be watchful, be alert. You do not know when the time will come. It is like a man traveling abroad. He leaves home and places his servants in charge, each with his own work. And he orders the gatekeeper to be on watch. Watch, therefore, you do not know when the Lord of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or in the morning. May he not come suddenly and find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to all, be watchful." The Gospel of the Lord. There's a teaching, apocryphal story told in the old country about this pastor in Killarney. And he had a crisis one day, and he called the bishop and he said, "Bishop, what am I going to do? Jesus Christ is walking down Main Street in Killarney. What should I do?" The bishop said, "Well, I don't know. I never heard this before." So the bishop called the Pope and he said, "Holy Father, the pastor in Killarney has a big problem. Jesus Christ is walking down the main street. What should he do?" And the Pope said, "Tell him to look busy." Well, be watchful. That's what the Lord says in these readings. And therefore, this is a season when we are called to be alert, to be attentive. So I'd like to look at that. And what this might mean to us in the present age. That first reading from Isaiah is very typical in the Hebrew tradition in that God was present in everything. When you won the war, it was because God helped you. When you lost the war, somehow you didn't do what the Lord wanted you to do, but God was present in everything. So says Isaiah in that first reading. In St. Paul, in that second reading we have, he clearly understands the end of the world, the second coming, will happen in his lifetime. And he's writing somewhere in the early 60s. The Gospel of Mark is shaped about 10 years or less after Paul. And it's very clear that Mark also, and the people of Mark's church, believe the end is imminent. It's coming soon in this generation or in the next. And therefore, get your priorities right. Be watchful. Organize your mind. Be attentive to the Lord, for the Lord is coming very soon. Now, that's way back then. How do we take this and bring this into our lives today? To be attentive. To be attentive to the presence of God and the teaching of the Spirit in everything that happens to us in life. Now, we finished Thanksgiving, and I was writing journals at Thanksgiving, and I was thanking the Lord for many things, but then I began to become grateful for my weakness, for it taught me how much I need others. I became grateful for my sinfulness, for it allowed me to experience God's infinite love. I became grateful for the things I did not get, which I wanted, which taught me that I don't have control over many, many things in life. I was grateful for the times when I experienced a real bankruptcy in my soul, loneliness and emptiness, a certain poverty of spirit. Because it taught me that there's nothing in this world that can satisfy the hungers of my soul. To be alert about the value of each thing which happens to us in life. And therefore, in this Advent season, it calls us to lift our sensitivity to become aware of God's presence in all things. So let me try to shape this into a meaningful teaching for the journey of life. Fortuna was a Roman goddess way back 6th century B.C. And you will find the Wheel of Fortune, the Roma Rota Fortuna. She was the god of fate, the god of destiny, so to speak, in life. She was the goddess of faith and the goddess of destiny. You had no control over your destiny. And therefore, you somehow invoked her to somehow shape your destiny in a favorable manner. And you'll find various temples to the goddess Fortuna. This notion of the Wheel of Fortune from the goddess Fortuna goes way back to the Babylonian Empire. So it has a very ancient presence and teaching. In medieval Europe, it was Christianized, as brought into a Christian context. And you'll find it very frequently in the cathedrals of Europe. You'll find a round window with the wheel, the Rota Fortuna, the wheel of life, the wheel of fortune, so to speak. We have carried this notion of Fortuna right into what we call Lady Luck, and even there are various expressions of this. Chaucer has it in his Canterbury Tales in The Monk's Tale. Shakespeare has it in Hamlet, and he has it in King Lear. Even Dante has it in the Inferno. This notion of there's a fate, there's a certain destiny. And when it was Christianized, it began to prompt us to wonder if, in fact, there isn't a mysterious tapestry of divine providence about all the things that happen to us in life. That somehow there's a narrative which is beyond our knowing, which involves every experience of our lives, the best and the worst of times. And when you look at the manner in which it was Christianized in the Middle Ages and shaped into windows by way of a gospel teaching, it was a circular window. And at the top, there was a man sitting at the top wearing a crown. And the Latin inscription, Regno, I reign, I have power. And then going in this manner down here, you have a man falling and the crown falling from his head with the sign under it, Regnavi, I used to have power, I'm falling. Down at the bottom, there's a man in a humble posture, Sum sine regno, I have no power. I am empty, I'm powerless. And then the return is Regnavo, a man rising saying, I will have power. And this is the circle of life. This is the Rota Fortuna. And when it's brought into the Christian context, the spokes from every experience go toward the center, and Christ is in the center. So something that had no meaning, that was beyond our knowing, somehow took on the context of meaning. For Christ was at the center of everything. When I had power, Christ was with me. The spoke says so. When I was falling, somehow Christ was there. I may not know it, but Christ was with me. When I was at the bottom and I was empty and in darkness and impoverished and helpless, hopeless, betrayed, somehow destroyed, Christ was there with me. And somehow in the power of Christ I return, and I return to a place of meaning and a place of power, not the power of the world, but the power in Jesus Christ. And that happens to every one of us. We go through this certain cycle of life, not one time, but many times. And to be alert in the season of Advent, to be alert, is to sense and feel God's presence in all experiences of life, wherever you are. And this somehow gives meaning and value to everything which happens to us in life. You may have heard of the Camus and various writers there about 70 or 80 years ago. The theater of the absurd. Camus wrote the myth of Sisyphus, and we had Waiting for Godot. Remember Waiting for Godot? These two men who are waiting for Godot. They don't know who he is. They don't know when he's coming. They don't know where they're going to meet him. And yet they're waiting for him. It's the futility of life. And these writers like Camus and various people like that in the theater of the absurd said there is no meaning to life. Life doesn't have any meaning. These things happen to you and they have no meaning. You have no control over them. They have no existential value. That's just the way life is. They weren't depressed about it. They said that's the way it is. And then we look at being alert to the presence of God, the presence of Christ in all experiences of life. That's the great act of faith which makes up the beginning of the season of Advent. Wherever you are in your life, you may be at a high point where everything is falling in front of you and you have everything that is flourishing and your fortunes are good to you. You may be falling. You may be nervous, anxious. You may be losing control. You may be disappointed in life. You may somehow, your expectations are destroyed. You may have lost your job. Whatever it is, you're falling. Or you may be down at the bottom in darkness, emptiness, where it's easy to be hopeless. Or you may be rising from a place of darkness and the power of Jesus Christ coming back to a place of meaning and a place of fulfillment in life. And that's what Advent means as we begin this season of Advent. To somehow find the presence of the living God in each and in every experience. That's the great act of faith. And by the way, the people of Israel in the great tradition, our ancestors in the faith, believed this. They believed that God was with them in everything that happened. Now, they ascribed meanings to it which may not fit our theology, but nonetheless, they had this sense that God was present. So when we come into this season of Advent, the invitation of the Spirit is to feel and to sense God's presence. God's teaching, the invitations of the Spirit, the invitations of failure, the invitations of weakness, things that we think have no value. In fact, in the Rota Fortuna, where Christ is the center, everything has a meaning, and everything has a teaching, and everything is an invitation to be reformed, to reform my thinking, to reform my person, to reform my experience, to find value in everything which happens in life, with this great sense that glory is our ultimate goal. Amen.